We are continuing our financial series, biblical finance series, and I hope this has been a help to you and reminders of some basic things. And let's put the Bible principles in practice in our homes and with our finances. And as you do, I think you'll be in a better position, financial better position, for God to be able to continue to bless you as your pastor. One of my prayers is that God would bless the families in our church, and that He would give you riches. He said, "Good, good." Well, riches isn't always money. And I think a lot of things that we're rich in, the world will never understand. But I do want God to be generous with our families and bless your work and your efforts. And one of the things that we've certainly learned, if we're going to get the blessing of God on our finances, is to go to the Word of God and see what God has to say about it. So I hope this has been a help. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 6. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. The Bible says this, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Heavenly Father, Lord, bless our families. Thank you for the work ethic, dear God, that I see displayed all around Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Lord, hardworking people, thank you for the good job they're doing in raising their children. And Lord, as we learn these biblical principles, may we not only put them in practice in our homes, but Lord, also that we can pass these things down to our young people and be a blessing to them as we give them a good biblical view of stewardship and of finances. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Very good. Let me tell you where we're at in the process. Of course, we started a week ago Wednesday night, and we preached a message on stewardship. What is stewardship? Very important, foundational message that allows us to just understand something that you need to understand, and that's this: everything belongs to God. Amen. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And in His generosity to Jerry Ross and my family, you know what? He's allowed us to borrow for a time a little bit of his property that we call our home, but it belongs to him. He's blessed us and supplied our needs through the years and given us much more than just our needs in abundance. But everything that we own belongs to him. Everything that comes in belongs to him. And I would just simply want to be a good steward. I want to be the one that he can look down and say he's faithful and he's honest when it comes to how he treats the things that I put in his trust and under his care. And as I do that, I hope to be put into a situation where God could trust me more. And if he knows something needs to be got to a certain place, he can run it through Jerry Ross, and I'll listen to the Holy Spirit, make sure that his stuff goes to where he wants it to go to. And so stewardship's so important. We spent all last Sunday going through just biblical mindsets so that we get a right biblical mindset concerning money. We talked about the love of money. We just read a little bit about that to remind us. Folks, listen to me. It's a sad thing when a Christian loves the things that his Creator gives him more than he loves the Creator who gave it to him. And that's a form of idolatry. You can take the generosity of God, take those things and turn them into a little G God. And listen, nobody ought to love money. Money's simply a tool, you know. It's a tool to be used. So we talked about that. And we talked about the importance of the work ethic last Sunday morning. And that, of course, is so attached to finances. The chief source of income, when we're talking about putting it in the box, we'll remind you that in a minute. Where does the majority of that ought to come from? It's by obeying the Scriptures. Simply going to work. And so we talked about that. And then we spent a little bit of time Sunday night just warning us again of having the right mindset towards finances. And I wasn't here Wednesday night, and then we talked this morning about tithing and tithes and offerings and during the Sunday school hour. And most of you weren't in that, and I wish that you'd listen to it. You say, "Preacher, I know about that, and I've taught." Listen to it again. It's very, very important that you honor the Lord in the tithes and the offerings. And shall a man rob God? And so, you know, if you don't tithe, God views you as a thief. He views you as a thief. And you know what? He said, "I'm going to put a curse on you." I just don't understand why we can't get ahead financially. Are you tithing? Do you give tithes and offerings? And if you don't, then God's put a financial curse on your family, and the only way you're going to get that curse erased is to start obeying Him. And He said, not only that, I'll put a curse on you, but He said, I'm going to close up the windows of heavens. All the blessings that I would have poured out on you, I'm not going to pour out on you. And on top of that, I'm going to loose the devourer into your lives. And you know what? You're going to have car troubles, and you're going to have things break down, and you're going to have catastrophes, and I'm just going to keep doing it. Come on, stubborn head. I'm going to keep doing it until you decide to obey me in the giving of tithes and offerings. Well, I don't know if I believe in the tithe. Well, okay, how's your life going financially? How you doing? How you doing? Amen? And so, you know, instead of fussing against this, just obey it. Amen? And come every Sunday ready to give tithes and offerings to the Lord. We covered that. And then this morning we talked about input. And so I'm going to start there and do a quick review. Say, "Preacher, what's the wooden box for?" The wooden box is for my money to be put into. Yes, yes. You know, a Monopoly game is $19.95 now. I felt like I got robbed a little bit down there at Walmart. I don't know. But what the price I paid so that I could have some fresh Monopoly money. And so we talked about input. So where do we get the money that goes into our box? Now, every week, this, I'm just using this as an example to hopefully give you a little bit of a picture. But I want you to picture this box as kind of your treasure chest, okay? And this is where we're going to put the money that God allows us to have, the money that we get through our hard work, income, through our job, and other ways that God provides for us. And so this morning I said, you know what? I'm just kind of using us as an example, in kind of a one-week picture. Okay, thank God that I go to work and I earn a paycheck. And you know what? That paycheck, when I cash it, that's the money that goes into the box there, and that's the income. You know, people that won't work and don't have a good work ethic, I don't know how they think that money's supposed to get into the box. Sadly, we've created in our country this reliance on, you know, government, and this idea of a welfare mentality that just thinks that, you know what, I shouldn't have to do anything except walk out to my mailbox once a month, and somebody ought to just pay my bills and provide my housing and pay for my health care and pay my electrical bill and pay for everything and give me food stamps, and I shouldn't have to work for anything. That's sad. That is anti-Bible. I didn't say somebody who couldn't work. I said somebody that won't work. And so, you know what? This week I got a paycheck, and so that's part of the income because I've got a J-O-B. Yes. I got a job, and I work, and I earn it, and that's why there's some money in the box that I'm going to be able to do something with in just a minute. I think the Lord maybe timed this out so I could use this as an illustration, but I told you the story this morning. I won't go into it, but somebody sent me a thank you card for something we did for them, and put three Cabela's $25 gift cards in there. All right, what do you think about that? And so, but hey, that's increase. Okay, whatever God increased me this week, I can't just act as if that's not increase. I didn't expect that, and yet God provided it for me. And so you think about that. And then thank you for the hundreds of you that reminded Brother Young, because he come running into the back of the church waving my check. And I could tell that a lot of you had went and found Brother Young, and I apologized to him. I hadn't even seen him that Sunday morning. He had no chance to give it to me. And yet, what did I do to you? Yes, of course, you know. And so anyway, I guessed how much I thought the love gift might be, and I threw it in there. And I want to publicly apologize to Brother Fugit. I really underestimated your generosity, and it was, I'm serious. I did not have a lot of faith in it, you know, Baptist churches. But anyway, it was more than I thought, unexpectedly more than I thought it would be. And so that goes in there. Hey, folks, I'm just talking about from Thursday to Thursday because that's when I do my week. Hey, guess what? The week's not over, you know. Might get something else unexpected. You never know. God might bless in some other way. And that's how it works. By the way, not every week's like that. I don't get $75 in Cabela cards every week. You know, I don't get an extra check for preaching out every week. But from time to time, God does give us some extra. But folks, listen to me. Everything in there, this is where you're never going to get here by sitting there pouting about what you don't have. You're never going to get there by robbing God. You're never going to get there by thinking it's yours. If we don't settle these things, then why in the world should God go out of his way to bless us extra? And you know what? All of that, okay, you say, well, look at all you have. That isn't mine. That's his. It's not ours. That's his. I'm a steward. Do you really believe that? I'm a steward. And I'm to manage that for his good. Okay, that's not for me to just blow. That's not my money. If you can get there, you're going to get some help. Amen? All right? You say, well, the tithe belongs to the Lord. No, the other 90% belongs to the Lord too. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. That means the earth and everything in the earth belongs to God. You struggling with that? Okay. Then you need to stop struggling against that. That's the way it is. And if you treat your finances like that and you allow the God to dictate where his money is to go once you receive it. By the way, he's a generous God. A steward, by definition, is allowed to take his living from his stewardship. God's not begrudging you for buying groceries and paying rent and seeing to your children's needs. And by the way, God's such a generous God that if you're a good steward, he'll either okay you using some of it for not just your needs, but your wants. He spoils us all the time. And sometimes some extra will come in and I'll pray over it. And God's like, you know, you married awful good woman. It's been a long time since you've done something special for her. Why don't you take her somewhere, take her on a little trip. And you know what? God okays that. But I'm not doing anything without talking to him. Okay, so once you get that and that money begins to come in, then you've got something. Now the goal here, folks, we're going to talk about output tonight. So every week there should be some income. The primary source, hard work. Get a job, hard work. And then there's other ways. We talked about passive income. I'm not going to go back over that. Providential income. Okay, so there's income from hard work. There's passive income where you develop. And by the way, what I talked about when I talk about passive income and some of the different ways to create second and third sources of income. Listen, I'm not a businessman. And I gave you a very elementary level. There's people that God have given business minds. And I mean this, that know ways and have figured out ways so much smarter than I am that have 7, 8, 9, 10, 12. I think Elon Musk has 4,000 avenues of income other than what he does on any given day. Now, listen to me. You say, preacher, do you think you could develop more of that in your life if you wanted to? I think I'm smart enough to do it. I'm also smart enough to know what we need. And when I took us back to Proverbs chapter 30, that little verse about you pray and ask the Lord, don't give me too much, lest I forget you. Don't give me too little, lest I curse thee and steal, forget your name. Well, you've got to kind of know yourself. I could spend more of my time creating more passive avenues of revenue, but you know what? At what point do we need more? And whatever happened to the word contentment? And so what we've created takes care of us and allows us to be generous to the Lord and generous when God speaks to our heart about others. But I'm not interested in, listen, all you Christian young men that are hard workers, you know this is true. There's 50 different ways you can make money out there. But the problem is pretty soon all of your life is tied up in that. And you never go visiting, and you never have a bus route, and you know, we've got some pretty guys that are smarter than me when it comes to business sitting in the pew right here. But I'm also watching that the same ones that God's given that level of wisdom to are the ones that could make even more than they're making. But you know what they're doing? They're putting their bus route first. They're putting their visitation first. And so, you know what? Because of that, I think that's why God's given them more wisdom. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. That's not just talk about finances. That's talk about prospering in all areas of life, including Christian life and what's important to God. And so, you know, you'll all have to figure that out for each and every one of you. We'll give you some Bible principles, but you have the Holy Spirit of God. And, you know, where I draw the line at as far as the amount of money that I feel like we ought to have come in that I need to put effort to, maybe it's different in your life. But, hey, listen, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, that's what they are, things, shall be added to you. And so we've done that. We've put our income in. I just looked on the desk. I sat down at the desk, and I usually don't look at much till Thursday, but while I was gone, I saw that St. Francis Hospital had sent me a check. Now, folks, that's not our relationship. Our relationship for the last 32 months is that we send them checks. They don't send us checks. I don't know why. I don't know how. I opened it up. Some bill, apparently I overpaid. They turned around, sent me a check back for $200 of something we overpaid, and it's laying there. Hey, look at this. Yeah, there you go. All right. Wasn't expecting that. Now, this is just 1 week. Hey, do these kind of things happen every week? I think that God allowed a variety of things to happen because he knew I was going to teach this. And I was going to be transparent with you. So there we got. We've got the income. All right. Now, the more that God, I want you to listen to me. I'm not prosperity gospel. I'm not prosperity preaching. But I'm telling you, the more that you align with the scriptures on how you handle your money, and the more that God finds out he can trust you with it, the more he will trust you with it. And you can go ahead and ignore everything. I don't believe in tithing. I don't believe in giving offerings. And I'm this, and it's all about me. And you know what? Spendaholic and run up the credit cards and be foolish. And if I'm God, I'm looking down saying, why would I trust them with anything? Now go ahead. You know what? Take off for months at a time because you're going to work Sundays and you're going to go out and you're going to peddle stuff and you're going to make a bunch of money. How'd that go? You put God first. You put God first. It's amazing how he'll come through for you. So, all right, think about those. So we spent an entire week here, and we put money into our treasure box, earned income, passive income. We've had some income come through Ultimate Gold Publications. You say, where's that at? She's got another box, and it all goes into that box. See, this is Ultimate Gold Publications over here. Everything Ultimate Gold Publications, we run through a whole different... keep the finances separate, and Cheryl takes care of all of that, and she balances the books, and when we need to give a tithe check, she pays the tithe, and I say, how much have you made this year? I have no idea. It's her. And where's all the money? It's all, she's got it all somewhere. I don't know. I mean, we might have a couple $1 million stuffed somewhere hidden in an account that she hasn't told me about. She's just waiting for me to die so she can... go on cruises all the times and in lavish vacations, and here I am living, just barely making it week to week, and so I don't know what goes on with all that, you know. But whatever she gets, trust me, she more than deserves. So that's her checking account, and that's her thing, and whatever she needs in life, she gets out of that, and that's good stuff, man. Amen. She does a good job with that. She puts a lot more work into it than I do. So whatever she does with it. So. All right, there we go. And so we've put it in there, earned income, passive income, providential income. Didn't see that coming. That just dropped out of heaven. Didn't expect that $200. Thank you, Lord. And so now that sounds good. Some of you sitting out there like you're mad at me, pouting. Okay, do you tithe? Do you give offerings? Okay, are you diligent? Okay, do you believe it's God's or do you believe it's yours? What happened the last time God did give you a chunk of money? What'd you do with it? Okay. You can spend your life being jealous and envious. And like I said, this isn't every week of our life. Most weeks, all we're living off of is our paycheck. But there are times when God will give you extra, okay? And so, I think I said this morning, you can spend your life being jealous of people being blessed, or you might figure it out. okay? And so now I've got this, all right? Well, wow, you and your wife did really good. It's not ours. Did I mention that? That's not ours, okay? So now it's time for us to start giving some output, okay? So that's what the Lord's blessed us with this week so far. And so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to count that all up this coming Thursday. And the first thing I'm going to do is give back to the Lord. First of all, the tithe is holy unto the Lord. Okay, all of it belongs to Him, but God said that tithe is holy unto me. That's to be separated and given and brought to me. So 10% of whatever this adds up to, He said, the gift cards. Yeah, if I got $75 in gift cards, $7.50 belongs to the Lord. Okay, that's all my increase. Okay, I mentioned this morning, you know, when church came in and remodeled our bathroom and did that as a kindness to us, a gift of love from the church to us. You know what? We calculated what the cost was, and I tithed off that. Amen. If it's increase, then you tithe off of it. If it's something that you wouldn't have gotten, but God gave it to you or allowed somebody to give to you, you tithe off of it. Amen. Well, preacher, are you sure you needed to do that? Don't listen. This is working. Don't mess me up, okay? All I know is this, the more generous I am to God, and I'm not sitting around rationalizing why there's something that comes in. Well, that $200, you overpaid a bill and they sent it back to you. And no, stop it. Just leave me alone. I'm giving $20 of it to the Lord, okay, because I didn't expect it. Now, you don't have to do that. I'm not saying you have to be me, but I'm just saying you've got a generous, cheerful heart when it comes to giving back to God. He has a generous, cheerful heart when it comes to giving to you. And so if I'm going to mess up and err, I'm going to err on the side of being a cheerful, generous giver that I'm not going to sit around rationalizing why I don't have to give something to the Lord. I'm just not. If it comes in, it's going in. So the tithe along with the offering. So we add whatever all that is. We take 10% of that. And then I pray and ask the Lord, what would you like me to add to my tithe? And I never give 10% back to our offering. I always give more than that. And I usually give substantially more than that as the Lord leads. Say, what do you have a set thing? Yeah, I have a set thing. It's called asking the Holy Spirit what He wants me to do. That's my set thing. And there's times when I give 20%. There's times when God tells me to give half of what came in that week. Whatever God wants and where He wants it, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not against living on a budget. I think you ought to live on a budget. We'll talk about that in a minute. But at the same time, who's got the final say? Because this belongs to Him. And I really mean that. And I really live like that. And whatever the Lord wants us to do with it, we're going to do with it, you know. And what if you overgive? And what if you give so much you can't pay this or you can't pay that? Look at me. I don't know. I've never experienced that. All I know is when I obey God, good things happen. And so just whatever the Lord wants, we give. And so giving should always be the first thought. You do not pay all your bills and then see if you have enough to tithe. You tithe before you do everything else. You give offerings. And so I give tithe, my tithe to the general account, our check with extra offering attached to it. We're going to give something to the building fund this week, Wednesday night offering. I'm going to give something to missions. I tend to do that more on a monthly basis instead of a weekly basis when I give to missions. It's the way we handle it. A lot of it that's given through Sunday school. A lot of that is given in cash. You know, I think all of you got a giving statement that, you know, if you don't give cash, if you write checks, you should have received a giving statement. If you haven't seen Brother Young, and he'll get you one. And by the way, the tax time's a good time. You got your giving statement. You know, let's be honest before the Lord. Take a look at that giving statement. If that's not at least 10% of what your income was, then you've robbed God and you owe Him that money. And He will get it. He will get it. Everybody tithes. Okay, I remember hearing my dad say that. Everybody tithes. You can do it the right way and bring it to the Lord and receive the blessings, or you can rob God and He'll take it some other way. And then you won't even get the blessings. You'll be living under a curse. That don't make sense to me. So, you know, giving should be the number one thing. Giving tithes and offerings, and make sure that we're square with God. Number two, we're talking about output. So first thing I'm going to do is take out a 10% plus the offerings that I'm going to bring to my local assembly, and I set that aside, and then I see what's left. All right, then we're going to pay for necessities. The second thing that you have to do after you pay your tithe is you pay for the necessities of life. One of the reasons I read that, this portion of scripture, was to remind us that having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. And so you ought to list what is the necessities of life and what bills need to be paid that represent the necessities of life. And so there's certain bills that come in every single month. You know, you can do it whatever works for you. Some people wait and pay all their bills once a month. I sit down every week and I pay whatever bill came in the previous week. I like staying current on them. I don't want to pay a late fee on a bill. Okay, so when it comes in, it gets sent out within a week of when I get it, and I just pay it as I go, whatever works for you. But folks, I want you to take a look at the bills that are coming in. We're talking about the necessities of life. Preacher, what are they? Well, you know, I think necessities are bills necessary to live. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. So what are the needs of life? What are the things you really need? Okay, food. You're going to need some food, okay? Raiment. The Bible uses the word raiment. You're going to pay for your shelter, for your home. Housing expenses, okay? Things necessary to continue the income that will pay for these things, okay? So, you know, if you're not paying for the things that allow you to get back and forth to work, you're probably going to need a car to get back and forth to work. You're going to need some things. You're going to pay for insurance for your home, insurance for that vehicle, transportation to and from work, vehicle, fuel. You're going to have to figure out what do I need, what are the necessities of life. Now, you might identify other necessities that I haven't listed here. I got groceries, mortgage or rent, utilities, water, gas, sewage, electric, home insurance, transportation to and from work, whatever you're paying for, a vehicle or fuel or insurance, all that has to be paid. Now, let me tell you what I worked hard at for years to get to, and it takes some time. Young couples, don't get discouraged if you're not there. But you ought to work towards a goal. One of the things that I hate is bills. I hate bills. When I sat down in a month's time, I want to write out as few bills as I absolutely have to. And so the more that you buy on credit, or the more payments you have, the more bills you have coming in. When I talked about the dangers of debt, boy, I want to just see if I can. We'll talk Wednesday night and help you with that. We're going to preach Wednesday night on stewardship complications. I'm giving you a very simple scenario. Give your tithes and offerings, pay for the necessities of life. I'm going to talk about savings, and then I'm going to talk about abundance. Because if you get it down to that, you're going to have an abundance. But stewardship complications is when we go after things and insist on having things that we could have saved up for over time and bought and not taken a loan out on. But, us Americans, if we see it, we got to have it. And zero interest. And, you know, they'll throw all kinds of things to try to get you and send you those credit card applications and give you as many as you want until you're in such debt that they won't give you anymore. And then you're going to be stuck there for a while, okay? And so whatever bills you have, take a look at them this week. Just write them all out. What are my monthly bills that are coming in every single month? Take a look at that and say, all right, I've got 13 bills that come in every month, preacher. Well, okay, how do you get it down to 6? What are the things that absolutely you have to pay? And what are things that really you're paying stupid money on? I talked about holes in the bottom of your treasure chest. I mean, you know what? If a lot of what you're going into your box is going out to pay a bank interest money, payments on stuff, credit card debt. Listen, again, I'm not mad at you. Wherever you're at, you got to start from. Whatever mistakes you've made, you're there. But you don't have to live there. You don't have to be there 5 years from now. You don't have to be there 10 years from now. You know, but you're going to have to make some decisions. Simple, 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 simple. Keep everything in your life as simple as possible. Don't become entangled with the affairs of this life. You know, what do I have to pay every single month? What do I have to pay, okay? We're blessed now. We got our place paid off. You know, I don't have a payment on anything. We don't owe anybody anything. Well, I'd like to get there. Well, there was a time we weren't. Okay? And we just set it as a goal and worked hard at it. We'll talk about that on Wednesday night. Preacher, I feel like we are paying a bunch of stuff that we probably shouldn't have. All right. Okay. Then let me get you some help. Come Wednesday night. Let me get you some help, okay? I used to be there. This isn't a perfect person that's done it all right teaching you. This is, you know what, making mistakes, digging out of those mistakes, and getting to the point where it sure is good to have some financial freedom and just be paying a handful of bills every week. And then, you know what, I put a bunch of income in. I take out my tithes and offerings. I pay for the necessities of life. And then we have some to put into savings, and then whatever abundance above that that the Lord wants me to do something else with, then we do that with it. And it took a while for us to get there, but it's a good place to be, okay? And so remember these things. So pay your necessities. Number three, I already mentioned savings. And the Bible gives us the example of the ant. Proverbs chapter 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Proverbs 30, verse 20, the ants are a people yet strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Now, there's a biblical principle that's taught in the book of Proverbs and other places that tell us that it's wise for us not to spend everything that comes in. If every week or every month everything that goes in the box is going out and there's nothing left, you're in a precarious situation, because you're going to have months where you have unexpected things happen. You know, there is going to be a time when the dishwasher breaks. There is going to be a time where the water heater goes out. You're going to have car trouble, and all of a sudden you owe a mechanic, you know, $800 in repairs, and you weren't expecting that to happen, and yet you have to have the vehicle too. So when those crises happen, if you haven't put anything back in savings, then the only way to get those fixed a lot of times is, well, preacher, I got to have my vehicle, so what do? We swipe the card. And so then all of a sudden now you've got another bill coming in. And here you are breaking even, and then you have this crisis, and you swipe a card, and then guess what? Now you've got another bill coming in, and you're not getting out of a hole. You're digging yourself in a deeper hole. And so savings is important. God created ants to teach us wise planning. Think about this. Summertime, it says, you know what? They gather their food in the harvest. They plant in the summer. They work in the summer. They provide their meat in the summer. Gather their food in the harvest in the fall time. Why? Winter's coming. Winter's coming. And winter represents a time of want, a time of need. And so winter's coming. And by the way, some of our older folks could give you good advice on this, but there's a winter time of life too. And God's not against you saving in anticipation of one of these days. You're not going to have the income that you are able to have while you're working. And so savings is important. I think every single month, and if you just get it, if it's easier for you to do it on a weekly basis, but I just think at least every month, some money ought to go into savings. And it needs to go in somewhere where it's really hard to get to. And again, I'm not here to give financial advice. There's a lot of different ways to save money. There's not a lot of different ways to put money in a place where it's making money for you. But you need to do that. It's going to seem so unimportant in your 20s. And I know you're never going to be Social Security age. You're never going to be 60. That's what I thought too. Guess what? I'm there. Okay? And so listen to a preacher and just say, the earlier you start, the better off you're going to be. Some of you work jobs where they offer some type of a 401k or a Roth account. Some of you work places where whatever you put in, your employer will match it. Man, take advantage of that. Max that out. Max that out. You're going to be so glad later on that you did. Okay? And so savings is an important thing, and I think it's a biblical principle, and I think it's something that the Holy Spirit will direct you to do. And so giving, pay for necessities, savings, make sure that you're starting to chip away at it. Well, preacher, we run pretty tight, and we don't have a whole lot we could put in savings. Time and compound interest is your friend, okay? You start earlier, even with it's just with a little bit, you're going to be in a better position if that money has 40 years to accumulate and compound and work than if you start late. And we didn't start this till we were in our 40s. That's why I want you to listen to somebody, okay? I wish I'd have started it in my 20s. And I wish I'd have started it earlier. But hey, it's never too late. Start now. And start putting some things away, okay? Because, sir, you know what? Let me just kind of talk to the men a minute here. You know, look at the statistics. There's a good chance our wives are outliving us, okay? That's just a good chance that's going to happen. I know there's exceptions, but there's a good chance that's going to happen. So once you're not here, how's your wife going to be taken care of? Okay? That's not selfishness. That's one of the responsibilities I took on when I married her. I want to be the provider for her when I'm alive, but I also want to be the provider for her when I'm not here. And so a certain amount of that, even if it's small amounts, get something started, okay? And again, go talk to somebody that probably is a little more wiser on all of the options. I could give you some, but I'm not really here to provide financial specific advice. So savings. And the last thing is this, distribution of abundance. So, okay, I'm going to take a certain amount out for tithes, and I'm going to then pay our bills. And then I'm putting these in my wallet so the next time I go to Cabela's, I can buy ammo. So I'm gonna put that here. Ammo is a necessity. And so I'm going to put some to savings. And then there's some left over. Okay. Now, abundance, preacher, think about this. Now, what do we do with the abundance? Okay, I've kind of followed the plan and done everything, and I've got some money left over. Is it yours or is it God's? Okay, so who should you consult about what to do with it? And so you consult the Lord. He may say to you, you know what? You weren't able to put anything in savings the last couple months. Why don't you make up for that now? You know, God is a good financial advisor. He may say, you know what? One of your kids has a need, and why don't you help him out? You know, the Bible talks about watching out for the needs of your church family. It says in Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Romans 12, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another, distributing to the necessity of the saints. So there might be where God gives us a month or a week or a month where we have some abundance, and as I'm praying over, you know, brother, Miss So-and-so is going through a tough time. Let's give them a little encouragement. And so, you know what? God may direct you to do that. And so, you know, I don't know what it'll do. The Bible talks about the importance of taking care of the poor. And you know what, folks? I understand there's con artists out there, okay? I understand all of the feelings that you have. Nothing irritates me more than leaving Walmart or some other place and a guy is healthy enough to go out there and stand for 8 hours with a sign, but apparently there's 16 businesses looking for to hire people around them. But, I don't have much patience with that. But as much as I just said what I said, you study what the book of Proverbs says about the poor. And the one thing we all ought to be careful is we don't just get this calloused attitude where everybody that's in need, well, it's their fault. We just don't want to help anybody. I mean, Proverbs 19:17, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again? How about this? Proverbs 21:13. It's just two verses. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself and shall not be heard. I don't know about you, but as I'm going through life, I want to be sensitive because God is going to bring opportunities to all of us from time to time of someone that has a genuine need. And if you stop your ears to their need, God may stop his ears to yours. Well, preacher, don't you think you've ever been taken helping somebody? Yeah, I'm sure I have. Like I said, I'm going to err on the side of generosity and care rather than stinginess. And not everybody that has a need is a con person. And, you know, if I see a genuine need, I want to have an open heart. My dad, you've heard him say this. But my dad would take money, as God gave him like some abundance. He might take a couple $100 bills, and he would take them like this, and the Lord would say, I want you to do this, and he'd fold them up like that. Because he'd always said, if there was money folded in the corner of my billfold, It was there not for me to spend, but for a reason. And he'd just put it there, and then he'd say, Lord, the next time somebody really has a genuine need, if you'll let me cross their path, I'll know that that's money's for them. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, I've watched my dad reach into a little corner of his billfold. Somebody comes, they've got a need, and he's able to help them and be an encouragement and a blessing to them. And, you know, because he believed these verses. He believed these. And, you know, here's the thing, folks. You'd realize that besides the general principles, there's certain steadfast, unmovable, general, concrete principles of the Bible concerning finances that we better not break. The tithe is the Lord's. Yes. Give an offering with the tithe. Be content with your necessities. Save some money. And there's some basic, but do you understand that most of the direction on what you're supposed to do with your finance comes with from an intimate relationship with the Lord? And the Holy Spirit is well able to coach every single family in this room on what he wants you to do with his stuff. And what you do on any given week might be something totally different than me, but just think if we all scattered every week and went out and said, Lord, you know what? I'd just be open to you and whatever you want me to do to try to help somebody, whether it's one of the families in the church, whether it's some unique situation where you bring me across somebody's path and you speak to my heart and say, help that person out. I just want to be open to it. And I feel like, listen, your preacher's teaching you a handful of biblical principles, but the honest truth is the most important biblical principle is listen to God. Listen to the direction of the Holy Spirit. He'll lead you. He'll lead you. He'll tell you. You know, so think about those things. So I've got an abundance. And so what I want to do is I want to distribute it, or I want to do whatever I'm supposed to do with it based on what God tells me. As I said, it's a bad idea to spend all of your abundance. A lot of that may not go into a savings account like a Roth, but, you know, it ought to go into a savings account for when something does break down. And the goal is, every month I'm putting a certain amount in, every month I'm taking a certain amount out, and there's some left over. And then do that again, and there's more left over, and I do that again, there's more left over, and I do that again, there's more left over. And then one of these days when you have a need, then you know what? An unexpected need, an unexpected bill, you have some savings to be able to pay for that. Okay? I've said a lot about credit and the dangers of debt. But I said something real quick and I want to say it again. Sometimes we'll convince ourselves that it's okay to borrow, because this is the rationale we use, you know. Hey, the thing is on sale, and by the way, it's going to be on sale 2 months from now and 2 months after that and 2 months. But you know, the pressure of, oh, it's on sale. And you know what? If I buy it now, I think we can pay it off in 6 months. We'll just really tighten our belt and we'll pay it off real quick in 6 months, and I won't pay all that much interest for it. Okay, then why not just tighten your belt, take those payments you were going to pay, put them in a savings account, and 6 months from now, buy the thing. Because the easiest thing to do is to rationalize why putting stuff on credit is smart. It's not smart. It's not smart. And if you were going to, because here's the thing, all right? I'm just going to ask you, how many of you ever came up with that plan, then have some other things go wrong, and you're still paying on it 18 months from now or 2 years from now? The deceitfulness of riches. And we are real good at deceiving our own selves. So if you could have done it in 6 months, then save that back for 6 months and go in there and pay cash for it. And you don't have another bill hitting your desk, okay? Distribution of the abundance, how a man views God's abundant provision will determine how God views that man. And we read this in one of our other sermons, but the parable of the certain rich man whose ground brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room to bestow my fruits? This is talking about, this entire parable is about abundance. He was blessed abundantly. His ground brought forth plentifully. He had more than he needed. So what did he say? What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns, build greater. There I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And God blessed him with an abundance. He didn't see that as abundance as belonging to God. All he talked about was I, me, mine. And then he wasn't rich towards God. That's what the Bible says at the bottom here. He says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So he didn't go to God and say, wow, you blessed me with all this abundance. Lord, why did you do that? What do you want me to do with it? He just started tearing down barns, building greater barns, and planted a life of eat, drink, and be merry. And God looked down and said, you forgot who that came from. And God said, thou fool. And God decided in this instance to end this man's life. And so, you know, again, that means when I have some abundance, I want to be careful about the attitude I have for it. I want to make sure I understand it's the Lord's, and I want to go to him and seek his guidance in what to do with it. Remember, folks, that you are a steward. This is where you prove to God that you're a wise and faithful steward. I believe what we do with our abundance and with our unexpected blessings tells me a lot of what God's going to do with me. So by the time you get to this point of the distribution process, there's nothing left in the treasury box, then you have an income problem, okay? So think about that. If I gave my tithes and offering, paid for my necessities, put a little bit of savings, there's nothing left, okay? Then we're going to talk about that, okay? Income versus output. Folks, if more's going out than's coming in, we talked about income. You're going to have to look at your income, listen to this morning's message. What do you have to do to change that? Is it that you need to have more income, or is it that you have foolish output that you need to eliminate as soon as possible so that there isn't an imbalance in that? Look at your situation. Pray over it. The Lord will teach you. The Lord will show you, okay? And so one of those things may be true, or both those things may be true. If you do have some left, God didn't give it to you to blow through on constantly eating out, frivolous purchases, extravagant lifestyle. And I want to give you some suggestions. Preacher, I have an abundance. What might God direct me to do with them? Increased opportunities to give towards what is dear to the Lord. How about this? Paying off past mistakes. Okay. If you get serious about paying that debt down, God's going to drop some abundance in it. But then he's also going to go, okay, you've been praying about getting out of debt. So I saw that you got this. Hey, some of y'all getting tax returns back, okay? And you're in debt. And the sad part is you've already thought through your mind of everything. You're going to blow through that and not touch a penny of your debt. How many times are you going to get a lump sum like that dropped in your lap? Get out of debt. Well, it's not enough to get us completely out of debt. Then put as much as you can on it. Put yourself in as good a situation as you can. I think if God watches that, then he's going to be more prone to say, well, they're serious about that. I can spend some abundance here and there. And he's going to see. If you just commit to it. And we'll speak more about this on Wednesday night. But there is a process you can go through to get out of debt a lot quicker than you think you can. Because once God sees you're serious about it, you have a God in heaven that will help you do it. But he's not going to help you do it if you can't be trusted with it. And so paying off past mistakes, savings for depreciating items, okay? You know, instead of going in debt for a new vehicle, why don't you pay ahead on one and you can go out there and buy it instead of borrowing on it. Paying forward on big ticket items. And then God, a lot of times, folks, again, I'll end with this. He also, a lot of times, when I'm looking at the abundance, you know, we don't just spend money on our needs. We spend money sometimes on our wants. And God okays that sometimes. He's fine with that. And so, you know, it's not like God's asking you to live on bread and rice and beans the rest of your life. But if you have to tighten your belt for a while. Show God how serious you are. But there's a lot of times when I'm praying over the abundance that God will okay something that we've kind of been wanting. Okay, something that I know my wife would has needed and would appreciate having. Okay, even on something that I've been wanting to do. You know, when you serve God sacrificially and faithfully, you know, God does sprinkle in the blessings of life. And God sometimes, when I'm praying over, Lord, what do you want me to do with that? I want you to take this trip. I want you to do this. You know, he'll reward good service. Okay. You know, the stewardship in the Bible. Here's a rich master. And he's got so much stuff and it's taken all of his time to manage it. So he said, I'm going to hire a steward. And he hires this man and he said, I'm going to entrust all this. By the way, Joseph in Potiphar's house. Potiphar got the place where he didn't even look to anything that he had because Joseph was that faithful and that good of a steward. All he knows is if I hand it to Joseph, I'm in a better financial position than I was. He is handling it to my benefit. Well, folks, listen to me. Don't you think that that rich man, if he hands this over to this steward and he's constantly benefiting the master, you don't think from time to time that master is going to say, come here, bud. Come into my office. Man alive. Best thing I ever did was hire you. Let's go over the books. Good night. Wow. You know what? You've been working hard. All right? Listen. Why don't you take a little bit of a vacation? Why don't you go buy something nice? Why don't you do something for you and your wife? God rewards good stewards. And so from time to time, he's going to okay things that we want to do and that we're places we want to go. And it's healthy for us and good for our family and good for our marriage. And so God's not begrudging of those things. But that's different than every time I have an abundance, what do we want to do? Where do we want to go? What can I get for me? And after a while, if I'm God and I think, you know, I'm trusting you with this, and every time there's any kind of an increase, you just use it and you don't even check with me on it. I'm just not sure how much I'm trusting you with from that point on. Output. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.